happening, my debt-free millionaire zealots? Hey, this is Zach Edwards for another episode of the Debt-Free Millionaire Podcast and Personal Finance Course. Today is a bonus round, as I was telling you about yesterday, because we only had four lessons this week out of the book, the Debt-Free Millionaire Personal Finance Course. We now have an extra day. I wanted to give you some information of what's going on right now. So this class is not just about personal finance. This is also about economics. And so you're going to learn about all these things as we go through. And the reason why we teach you about economics is because if you're going to make $1 million in through investments and such, you need to know where that money's coming from and why it's going up and down. So let's go through a few of these indicators. Okay, so first off, the first thing I do when I want to find out the trends and what's happening, I want to know what's happening this week. So MarketWatch actually provides a great calendar of all the different indicators that are released. Now, the funny thing is a lot of people do not want to release these indicators. A lot of people do not want bad initial jobs claims going on the news. And so they actually wait until Friday to release them. So a lot of these economic indicators are all produced on Friday so that people don't hear about them because they're so ready for the weekend. They don't want to be part of it. They don't want to hear negative things. They want to be thinking of the positive, how they're going to be sitting on their couch or sitting on the beach or sitting somewhere relaxing instead of working and worrying about the economy. But the thing is, you can't stop worrying about the economy because you're still going to be going to the grocery store. You're still going to be eating out. You're going to be doing all these different things that are going to be, it's everything about the economy is built into those things. Everything you do in everyday life is affected by the economy. Nothing in your life happens without the economy affecting it. Let's go to the extremes. Okay, what about church? Church has nothing to do about the economy. Did you know that the donations to churches actually decreases when the economy goes down? Makes sense, right? People don't have the money or don't think they have the money. They don't donate as much. So it even affects there. How about going to, really extreme, how about going to the bathroom? You know, what happens with the economy? Values go up, inflation goes up. The amount of money, the cost of the money that goes into your house is affected, which is what fuels the toilet from working. I mean, I'm talking about total extremes here. All those things have to do with the economy. Stress levels, anxiety, those are some of the major things that happen because of the economy. People stress out about what's going on. But again, by being a debt-free person and or a millionaire, or even better, both of them, you're actually not going to have to worry about all those stresses that come out. And we're going to teach you all these things as we go. So stick with us. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to you about something that is called the DXY. Okay, so the DXY, it's the value of the dollar. Now, okay, so the dollar goes up and down in value, right? Well, every time that the government infuses a ton of money, what happens to the value of the dollar? The more dollars on the market, the more money that people have. The more money people have, the amount that they're expecting for their work, for their supplies, and someone might say, oh, the grocery stores are gouging us. Well, the grocery stores are basing their prices off of what the manufacturers are selling it to them. So, okay, the manufacturer's gouging us. Well, the manufacturer is actually being influenced by the farmers. Oh, so it's the farmers that are gouging us. No, the farmers are actually being affected by those that are creating the pesticides or the seeds and such. So they're gouging us. No. So they're not gouging you because they have to get the shipments of the seeds, the pesticides, the chemicals, all these different things to and from the consumer and to and from their manufacturing plant. Okay, so it's the fuel company, the oil company that's gouging us. No, because the more that the government regulates them and puts more taxes on them, the more that we're going to end up paying. So it's the government side. No, the government actually does this because they're concerned about how everyone's gouging us. So who is actually at fault? Okay, so economics has everything to do with this. And though you don't have control over all those different rounds. You might actually have one control of one. You might be a farmer, or you might be a manufacturer, or you might be a retailer. You might be a so on and so forth. You might be just a consumer, but it always affects you. That's why the economy is so great to understand, because you don't have to worry about it if you truly understand it and understand when to take advantage of the opportunities that it brings. So this is the DXY. You see the value of the dollar was at peak. If you were to buy dollars right here, or bring in dollars into your company, say you're saving dollars, you would have lost value between here and here. But if you bought your dollars down here, and this is buying it on the marketplace, not buying actual dollars, then the value of your dollar would have gone up slightly. So this is what the DXY is. You want to be able to understand this chart here. The DXY is very important because it tells you where inflation's going. It tells you where the value of other investments are going. For instance, when there is a lot of confidence in the DXY, what happens to cryptocurrency? It actually goes the opposite direction. When it's tanking though, it starts to increase the value of Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies, other things like gold, anything that's a hedge against the dollar. So all of a sudden it starts to increase again. The coin is going to go down most of the time. There are other indicators and more other influences that have to do with the ups and downs of other commodities. But this is something, a reason for you to understand what the DXY is. We want the dollar to stay steady, is what we want. We want it to go completely streamlined, straight ahead. That way we're not having a ton amount of inflation, which is, this actually shows inflation. The value of the dollar went up. This is at the end. So the dollar went, this doesn't make sense. The value of the dollar went down and now it's going back up. This is when inflation started to decrease. Over here, it actually continued to decrease, inflation did, because of other reasons. So there are a lot of indicators that have to do with it. So if you're not looking, if you're here listening to this in the podcast, I'm going to walk you through it. But the chart that I have up shows August of 2023. So it's not too much time, but it shows an increase in the DXY. And then it tanked at the end of 2023. And now it's starting to come back. There's also a yearly rolling understanding of the DXY. So the value goes up during the summer when people are, more like the end of the year, when people are done with their going on vacations, things like that. And then as you see in the chart, around January is when it plateaued, or it went down into the valley. And then it started to increase again, because people are starting to go on trips. So the value is going to go up because they're spending more money. Again, there's a lot of indicators. So just basically understand a rudimentary of what the DXY is. What is more important is to know the trends of it. So if you are seeing this chart, you'll see a lot of ups and downs. If you're not seeing this, you're listening to the podcast, you see all these different trends. Now, I've actually put on into the notes a lot of the news articles of where these graphs come from, so you can actually see everywhere we're getting this information. But one thing you'll see in this indicator, now this is the the leading indicator for the economy. If you're looking at the chart going from 1967 up to 2022, you'll see that there are a lot of peaks and valleys. So each of these you could actually consider partially a recession. Every time there's a gradient area, there is a type of recession that was happening. Okay, so if you look in here, a recession, 2008, as everyone knows, that's when the housing crash happened. 2007 is when it started. There's a gradient area, and it tanked until just after the recession, when the leading indicators start to increase again. And then around 2000, when the pandemic happened, it dropped again. Now, as soon as 2021 happened, the leading indicator did not jump up very much. Then in mid-2022, it jumped up and then it came back down. So this is something important to understand because this allows you to know when you hear leading indicator, that's how the economy is either flourishing, increasing, or it's decreasing. Rarely ever does it actually stay completely flat. And you don't actually want it to stay flat. You want it to incline because you want to have value on your investments. When it dips, it's usually because of a recession. There was the 2000 dot-com bubble. When the dot-com bubble burst, you can actually see that the leading indicator tanked for a little while. And then it stayed somewhat steady. And then around 2005, it started to increase again until 2007 when all of a sudden there was a recession again. So these are great indicators to help you understand when to buy things, because you don't want to buy when it's the top value. At the same time, you don't know when the peak is going to be. You want to buy it when it tanks. When the leading indicator tanks, it's a great time to jump in, buy up some assets. Okay, so let's talk about some of these assets. First one is the U.S. existing home sales. Now, interesting enough, if you look at this chart, I'm going to explain it to you, those that are on the podcast, 2017, it was pretty flat. The existing home prices or home, sorry, sales was actually very steady. It was a good 6% increase year over year, which was great because it was a steady. We didn't want a huge increase and then a huge tank. But what happened in 2020, so right before 2020 is when what happens? It's the winter, and so less people are buying houses. But if you look at the chart around 2020, it actually tanked because of the pandemic that was happening. This is actually when I bought my house. I actually bought it right before the pandemic, and I actually played on the fact that there was a pandemic, and so I was able to get the house at the best value possible. I dropped $30,000. They denied me that day. So then, okay, how about only $20,000 drop? Now, this is a $300,000 home that I was asking to buy for $200,000 because it was distressed. The next day, the pandemic happened. Now, that was a little bit of a fluke. No one could actually have told anyone that the pandemic was going to hit astronomical levels and everything was going to be shut down. But because of that fear, the banks got rid of that house as fast as possible and they sold it to me. I made 20 grand right there, flat off right off the bat. And by doing sweat equity, I actually brought the house up value almost double now. So a house down the road sold for about 370. We bought our house for 200. Ours is actually larger than theirs. So the indicator is we could actually sell it for almost double of what we purchased it because we bought it distressed. And if you want to hear all the stories of everything that we've done with real estate in order to be debt-free and have a paid-off house, go listen to the last week or so of these podcasts. Actually, this whole week and maybe the last day of the last week. But if you're looking at this chart, you're going to see that after 2020, when the pandemic was basically ended, there was a skyrocket in sales of houses because everyone wanted to buy a house because they hadn't been able to buy a house for the last year. And because of that, the existing home sales actually skyrocketed to about 8% year over year. So that was great. It was great sales. But the second thing you need to know is this was the mortgage rate. So if you look at this chart, which I do think that you should look at the Bloomberg article I put in from the National Association of Realtors, it'll show you the other indicator on here is the mortgage rate. So the mortgage rate in 2017 was about 4%. Then it started to increase, and then all of a sudden they just started dropping it. They dropped it and dropped it and dropped it until it was around, and this is mortgage rates. These are not the bank rates. Bank rates went down to like zero, but the mortgage rate stayed at the lowest point, just below 3%. So you could actually get it about 2.8%. And so it dropped and dropped and dropped right as soon as all of a sudden inflation took off. Now, when inflation took off, all of a sudden the banks are like, the Fed said, no, we can't allow us to lend this money out as easy as that we were doing. Again, they were printing money hand over fist and giving out money for nearly nothing. And so the mortgage rate started to incline. And as you can see, as the mortgage rate started to incline, the two graphs actually change. So the existing housing sales dropped around 2021 to 2022 as inflation went the opposite direction. It skyrocketed, and that went up extremely high. And because it went up extremely high, the mortgage rates were at about a 6 to 7% during the, actually right now, it went up to 6 to 7%. So it went from 3% to 6 to 7%, but that's like $100,000 over 30 years extra that you'd be paying. So people stopped getting mortgages. They weren't used to it. But remember, when I bought my first house, I bought it actually at 8.7%. So this is not an unreasonable amount of the mortgage rate, but people are afraid of it. So it was what we bought our house, our last investment property, at 7.5% interest rate. Now you might think, why in the world did you buy an investment at that point? So we bought a duplex. We bought it for $180,000. Our mortgage was about $1,100 a month. One side of that duplex pays $1,100 a month. The other side is this older couple that they've been living there for the last 27 years, and we didn't want to increase their prices a huge amount because they're on Medicare, and also on Social Security. So they don't have much money coming in. So we said, hey, we want to be nice to them. We're going to keep it low. So we kept it at $800. So one side of the property actually takes care of the payments of the mortgage. The other side of the property pays us profit. So every month we make about $800 every month going in. Now what happens when all of a sudden the interest rate drops? We will refinance the house. When we refinance the house, our monthly payments will go from $1,000 to like $500. And then we will be collecting how much? Well, by that time, the older couple will probably be moved out. We'll equal the two, so it'll be about $2,200. We'll be profiting about $1,700 a month. So that's a great return on the fact that a lot of people don't want to buy right now. They don't want to buy the investment properties. And yet, I'm going to refinance it sometime. And by refinancing, I'm going to get all my money back and then some. And I'm going to pay off that house as soon as possible. We're actually going to take all that money and put it in and pay off that investment property. So it's ours free and clear. And then we're going to be buying another one before we pay off that house. So we're going to be buying another one as soon as possible. But we're not going to roll the equity into that next house like someone like Robert Kiyosaki would tell you to do, which is an okay idea. It's not a horrible idea. I just rather not have the debt, because the debt is what's going to kill you. It's going to stress you out. It's going to put a lot of extra mental capacity on you that you could be doing on other things, including other investments. So I decided I wanted to be a debt-free millionaire, and that's why we have investment properties in the way we have them. So going on. Okay, so as you can see, the existing home sales have declined dramatically, actually, since this administration went in, and the inflationary rate and the mortgage rate has increased dramatically, doubled. And so how about new sales? Now, this is, again, where I was in. Oh, sorry, this is existing sales. This is another chart that you can see the exact same thing. During the pandemic, there was a tank, and then it increased, and then it dropped, and it still dropped. And this is more recent. It's still dropping. And this year, it's going to be worse than ever. So I'm a little bit glad I got out of the residential construction, the new home sales or new home building. But you'll see more about this as we go. Okay, so here is, these are still existing home sales. Okay. Okay. So I had actually new home sales, but I must have not saved it. So new home sales are also very important to understand. New home sales have also tanked the exact same way since 2021, the end of 2021. And that's because, again, mortgage rates. No one wants to pay an extra $100,000 on their house in 30 years. They want to get a good mortgage rate. So a lot of people are not buying, but they're also not selling. What happens when a seller says, well, if I sell this house, it means I have to buy another house. If I buy another house, I'm not going to have my 3% mortgage rate. I'm going to have a 7% mortgage rate. You know what? I could stay in my house for just a little bit longer. So a lot of people are actually expanding their houses, remodeling their houses. So that's the great business that we've started to somewhat invest in so far in this time, just because we knew that that was going to increase because of what's happening with the market. And again, this year is going to be worse than ever because they're not going to be dropping interest rates. Everyone says, oh, they're going to drop the interest rates two or three times this year, maybe once. But the indicators actually show they actually might be increasing it because inflation is starting to boost up again. And if inflation goes up again, that means we're going to be paying a lot more on our mortgages and nobody wants to move. So yeah, stay tuned for that. Okay, here's another thing to look at. This is the commercial real estate defaults. These are people that are defaulting on their real estate. So 2025, if you're not looking at this chart, you'll see that the biggest indicator, the company that was actually defaulting on their loans the most was actually the industry of hotels and hospitality. Then all of a sudden that went down 2017, 2018, and then it skyrocketed during COVID. Why? Because people weren't traveling. If people weren't traveling, the hotels and hospitality could not pay their debts off. If they can't pay their debts off, they defaulted, which means they either went into bankruptcy or into foreclosure. And so it skyrocketed 14%. Everything in this chart is around between 1 and 4%. That was 14% during COVID and quite a distance afterwards. So it actually started to come back down around the end of 2021. And it's actually come down steadily because people are traveling now, which is great. But what's another indicator that's on here? If you look, now there's the green is multifamily rentals. Those have stayed pretty steady. There's retail, which actually increased a little bit because of the pandemic. And now it's gone down again because people are able to pay their bills. Now, during the riots, the George Floyd riots, that actually hurt the retail also because retail stores, as you remember, because of these not so violent riots, were destroying retailers. They were ransacking them. They were burning them to the ground, a lot of them, in places, especially places like California, Illinois, and New York. But because things have started to steady, they've actually come down as well. What has been hurt the most right now? And what is about to send the banking industry into a frenzy? Because most of the money is there. It is the office space. Now, office space, what's happened in there? Okay, wait a second. 2020, people were going to work, right? They're still working. Companies were still making money. They were still making their payments. But what happened when all of a sudden, people didn't want to go back to work? 2020, they were starting to go remote because no one could travel because of, again, the pandemic. So all of a sudden, people were staying home and doing work from home. They're like, we don't want to go back to the office. Why in the world would we go back to the office? Well, it's because the office is paying so much money for the office. What's happening now? If the offices are closing down and going all remote, those office the businesses that own the office space, they all of a sudden cannot pay their loans and they're now defaulting. And they're going to be in a place much like the hotel and hospitality section where they went up to 14%. Right now, the defaults are over 6%. This actually just shows you 2023. They've actually continued to incline and they are continuing to go up. So stay tuned for more information on that. That will come up as we go. Another indicator to look at is this is the jobless claims. Now, if someone is made going through an unemployment, they're actually going to have an initial claim. Everything's stayed pretty steady. If you're looking at this chart, 2022, they were fairly low and they have continued to incline since then. 2023, they plateaued and now they're jumping up and down around the same amount. So the continual claims have gone down slightly over mid-2023, but there's new layoffs coming off. And because there's new layoffs, like, Tesla has just said that they're gonna be laying off about 10% of their workforce because they were ramping up, they got to a good steady space, and now they're getting rid of the redundancies, the duplication of work. So there will be another incline in jobless claims. 4-week moving average, that has stayed pretty steady. Everything's staying pretty steady. So that is the indicator that basically shows that we are not doing very well in our jobless claims. They're still very high. And if you look at the jobless claims, this chart is showing basically what's happened over the last, since 1967 as well. And you can see every time that inclined, it has grayed in areas as well to show you when recessions happen, like the 2008 recession when I was laid off. And in here, you'll actually see that the jobless claims skyrocketed. I was one of them. And then after about 2010, it started to decrease, and it started to drop until 2020. So that's actually where that stops. So it was great. The jobless claims were very low. They were extremely low, especially the 4-week average. So that's a great, that was a great indicator. But again, if you go back, it began to incline again. Okay, moving forward, the next thing to look at, we're going to go back to the DXW. The reason why we're doing that is I'm showing you the last, since 2000, the value of the dollar was actually going up until all of a sudden they infused a ton of money into the system and it began to, until 2000, this is another recession. In 2000, it was the dot-com bubble. All of a sudden, there was a ton of money in the system. They threw a ton of money trying to bail out companies and the value of the dollar tanked until about 2005 or so. Then it started to plateau. It started to level off. And then in 2008 as well. And then 2008, a recession, but it actually brought the indicator up. So again, there's a lot of different reasons why this happened. I have to look more into it. But this chart basically shows it plateaus. And in 2014, we infused a ton of money through Obama, and Obama threw a ton of money in, and all a bunch of other things that, 2020. Yeah. So let's see, Trump was in office 2016 to 2020, or I guess 2017 to 2020. And then that before that was Obama, 2017. So he was there 2013 to 2016. So the value of the dollar actually did increase. And then during Trump, it stayed fairly steady, which is again, where we want it. We don't want ups and downs. It's like Bitcoin. It's like cryptocurrency. The reason why people don't like that is it's up and down, up and down, up and down. Well, the same thing with a dollar when there's instability. So during Trump, it was actually quite steady until all of a sudden there was a big infusion of money and the value of the dollar tanked. Now, it also began to increase as well. And just now it started to decrease again. Now, this has a lot to do with inflation and everything. But as you see from this chart, the value of the dollar has actually decreased a lot since the beginning of 2023. What happened during that time? Okay, so there's one big thing that happened during that time, and that's called BRICS, B-R-I-C-S. So BRICS stands for Brazil, Russia, India, C, China, and S, Saudi Arabia. Those were groups that were coming together and saying, hey, we don't want to be held down by the dollar anymore. We don't want that to be the reserve currency. So we need to come up with other ways of trading without using the dollar. So what happened? The dollar tanked because of the pressure that Biden was putting on other countries, patting the pockets of friends. It tanked and now it stayed pretty steady at a reasonable amount. So it's good. It's staying steady. So that's not a horrible indicator. But here's the thing to look at. Here is the dollar, the rate of the value of the dollar going up and down. And as you see, if you're looking at this chart, since 2007, it stayed fairly steady. It did drop during 2008. Inflation dropped as well. And then inflation went up just as much as the DXY went up. So the dollar value went up. And you can see inflation and the DXW actually have been fairly steady together. Sometimes inflation goes higher or lower depending on different things, especially because of influxes of money. But what happened in 2020? All of a sudden, look at inflation. It's the solid line. It went up skyrocketed up. So usually it's staying around a 0 to 1% change annually. And actually, usually we're fine with up to 2% change in inflationary rate. But if you look, inflation skyrocketed. By 2022, it was about over 3-4 and higher. This is actually, I think, where they cut it off. But inflation actually went up to 16%? I think it was 16% was the max inflation in certain indicators. Other indicators, it was above 20. And so that's something to look at. But what does this mean for you as someone that's starting off? So let's go to the wages and what's happening with real wages. So right here, if you look at this chart, I'll give you a little bit of a understanding of it. This is actually just over the last 4 years, January of 2021 until basically September of 2023. And what it shows is the skyrocketing inflation. So this is the consumer price index, not even inflation itself. Consumer price index skyrocketed. That's the amount that you are paying on certain things, certain consumer products, not food and not gas, but everything else. So it went up to about 10%, 9%. And then it started coming back down. While the amount of wages actually increased, it did increase from the slump of COVID. It was down to a near 1%. And then it's now plateaued at about a 5% increase. But the problem is, and now it's steadied out, both of them are about 4%. But the big indicator, the big issue is that big inflationary rate, because that was an increase. It didn't go down. The inflation did not bring prices down per se. It was the change of value, change of prices over since the last year. So let's say bread, everyone buys bread. If bread is valued at $1 and the next year it's valued at, because of inflation, it's $2. And then the next year it's $3. That's inflation going up. What happens when inflation goes down? It's now at $3.20. It's like, wait a minute, inflation went down. Shouldn't the price of bread go down? No, unless the inflation goes to negative, meaning that the value of things go down negative, it's still an increase every year. So inflation is still ticking up. We're still paying more every year for the same products as we did the year before, as we did the year before, as we did the year before. So inflation is still killing us. Now they're actually saying that the indicators that the government uses is everything except for food and gas. What has happened to gas? Again, in Missouri, I was buying gas at $1.25 when the presidential election ended and Joe Biden was put into office. Through his executive orders, it automatically shot up above $2. It even went up to $5 during a time. And then it came back down, and now it's about a $3.50. And they're still saying that in some places, again, Missouri is very low. California, it's like $6. In other places, it's above $4. So this is all depending on where you live as well. So I need to go over through, actually, I think this is my last slide. That's great, because we're out of time. So here's the thing that I want you to understand. Yes, the economy is not looking good. Yes, there are things that the government does that hurt the industry, hurt the economy. But we're going to prepare you so you know exactly what to do, when to do it, and how to do it so that you can actually become a millionaire by doing these things. Now, if you decide to be a debt-free millionaire, and I highly recommend it, you're going to get out of a lot of stress. You're going to be able to bankroll a lot of the things that you do, and you're going to be able to be free in life and not have this debt weighing on top of you. If someone leaves your home that you're renting out, if your renter leaves, what happens? You can't pay your bills until you get another person in there, and then you have to wait. And so, funny enough, because I don't have a mortgage on some of my properties, I don't have to worry about someone moving out. On this new one that I got at 7%, I'm waiting for that interest rate to go down, and then I'll put someone in there. But just one person staying in there pays the bills. Well, one person on one side. The elderly couple, they're not paying the whole mortgage, but that's okay. They don't need to. We'll take from our surplus. And if our renter on that side leaves, we will make do. We'll make it work. So everything can be done within moderation. But within, again, because we're intentional, by the time the interest rates go down for mortgages, the mortgage rates goes down, when we refinance, we'll be making about $1,700 a month extra on that just that one property. So if that's happening, you can do the same thing on any one of your properties. So we're going to teach you how to get there. Again, that's going to be a few months in advance because right now we're working on our personal finance course. So stay tuned for all these amazing things. Please follow us, subscribe, like us, give us your comments. Tell us what you think. We want to know so that we can make this better and we can address all your concerns and your thoughts. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we will catch you next time. And if we haven't made you a debt-free millionaire zealot, stick around. We will. Thanks again. Talk to you soon. Bye.